Hello and welcome to episode 125 of the Tech Reformation, where the world of technology meets the worldview of Christianity. I'm Ben.
I'm Craig.
I'm Derek.
And this is Pink.
This week we're going to be talking about Google I/O in its entirety, minute by minute. No, we're not going to actually. We're gonna pull out the things that we saw from the keynote that we thought were interesting that you should know about. So without further ado, let's get started. So to start us off, let's hear everybody's general reactions about the show, aside from the content within. Ben.
First off, allow me to salute general reaction. Okay. This year at Google I/O, Google is going big on machine learning.
Those were very heavy air quotes.
Yes, they were. I would just like to note that from my perspective, Sundar seemed to be using the terms machine learning and AI in interchangeable ways as if they were synonymous. And I think we should point out that they are not the same thing. There is a chasm of difference. And point two, neither is an accurate descriptor of either of those things.
That's true. And I think we've talked about that before. Yeah. No, but you're totally right. And that kind of bothered me too. Like, I'm totally going to refer to things as being like, they're using AI to do this when that is not actually, it's not actually artificial intelligence. It's something else, but it's what people are using to describe this. So we're defining words. Tank, how about you?
I like the cars.
Spoken like a true 12-year-old.
I like cars.
I like turtles.
Yes! Thank you, Derek.
Yeah, I think that was the thing I was most excited about. I look forward to driverless cars, and so hearing that they're releasing them will be cool. I also liked the upgrades, I think Google P, they called it. So since I'm an Android user, a lot of those things look nice too.
Android P.
Android P.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Now, is that with two E's or?
I just like hearing Tank say that and then hearing myself say that, I was like, wow.
That's ridiculous.
Why did they not think about that beforehand?
Yeah, you would have thought they would have figured that out.
Craig, what were your hot takes?
Well, I don't know how hot they are, but I watched it with my wife. And she's hot. And I must admit...
Craig, no. No, Craig. No. You've just fallen into the trap of every young skinny-jeaned pastor in the history of the United States. Look at how hot my wife is. She's the hottest.
It's okay. He's not a pastor.
We wouldn't have... Yeah, anyway. Okay. But I did watch the sort of 15-minute video. And... I was actually watching it with my wife, and she probably hasn't done as much in-depth thinking on things like driverless cars as we have on this podcast. And it was interesting to see her reaction, because she was kind of watching and going, isn't that dangerous? Like, you know, she was just like, I don't know if I'd actually want to... I mean, she's known about it for ages, but I don't think she'd kind of realized that it was this close to eventuating. Other than that, my only other thing that I thought was kind of silly... other than I did pick up on the different hand gestures used by the different people, but that's just like a little Google tick thing, and I think Apple probably has the same thing. The camera changes I thought were pretty lame, to be honest. They talked about like you can add color to a black and white photo and make it more real, as if color equals reality. color doesn't equal reality. Color just equals technological advance. So it's false color anyway.
Oh, I thought that was really cool.
That's a cool function, but I just thought the way they sort of sold it wasn't really accurate.
Oh, I don't know. Going off on a tangent for a second, I've seen colorized photos of like Civil War photos, and all of a sudden I'm like going from, oh, that's history. It's like there's some sort of a separation, and all of a sudden they're like, boom, wow, that actually happened. That was amazing.
I've seen some colorized photos recently of Adelaide, like the city I live in, from when it was founded and whatever, and I don't have a problem with them in general, but I also don't have a problem with keeping it black and white. Like, I guess it's all about perspective, but I personally am happy to look at a black and white photo and put it in a historical box and not need it to be brought into more real just by adding color. Maybe it's because I've watched too many black and white movies or something when I was studying film and TV, but anyway, that aside, it is a cool feature, and I think it will be useful in some situations. But the other thing with selective coloring, where you black and white the background and color the subject, is that's kind of like using Comic Sans. Just for people who aren't aware, in photography circles, it's like it was a fad. It lasted for 6 months on Instagram when Instagram was new, and then people kind of went, all right, this is a bit tacky and we shouldn't keep doing it to everything. and so now Google's just making that process that's like 3 years old automated so that everyone can do it again. And I was just kind of like, no, like this, a good photo should be able to stand alone.
Bringing the fad around.
But yeah, that's personal preference, hey? Like everyone will have a different view on that stuff, so I'm more than aware of that.
As far as my thoughts on the whole thing, it was, you know what? This was a really interesting keynote to me. There were a lot of different things going on that I didn't necessarily... Well, there were some things that I kind of expected at some point, but it was really cool to see it happen. There were some things that totally blew my mind. And I don't know. I'm used to Apple keynotes because I watch all of them, and it's nice to have a change of pace. So I had a good time. Actually, I watched it, what, like 3 times this week? Which is, I don't know how I managed that.
Also, Apple hasn't done anything new and exciting in about 7 years.
Oh, burn.
It's a long time.
That's not true, but it's kind of, sort of. I get what you're saying. Anyway, so let's get started. We've got like 9 things we're going to go through, lightning round. A lot of these are going to be completely different show top, like going to have full shows on their own, but we're just going to give our quick thoughts about everything and what we thought about them.
Would you say we're going to give our hot takes, Derek?
No, I'm trying to get away from it. I'm trying to get away from the hot takes. So medical predictions is the first we're going to go through chronologically. So Sundar came out and talked about the fact that they're working with medical providers to help doctors predict illnesses or help with that sort of thing. And they're able to predict like cardiac events like 5 years down the road or something like that, which is crazy. Yeah, I mean, using all this data and machine learning, et cetera, to do all that.
Generally speaking, I'm one of those like, I don't have anything to hide. Here you go, have all my data and at least give me ads that I might care about kind of guys. But seeing this healthcare, like Google has all my healthcare records, I think was the first time when I thought to myself, I'm not so sure this is a good idea.
Yeah, well, so this has really interesting implications on something like the insurance industry too. Like depending on where this technology goes, if this is adopted or figured out by more people, if this is figured out by insurance companies, all of a sudden they're going to be able to figure out, you know, whether you're going to have heart disease based on how often you trim your fingernails. Like it's good. They're going to be able to collect.
What?
That's crazy. But there is,
I don't think so.
I mean, it's an exaggeration, Craig.
Yeah,
it's an
exaggeration. I get it. Hyperbole. I'm with you. I just was like, gross.
Yeah, that's true. But we're going to have issues with like people being disqualified for insurance before they really have the indicators, like proper indicators. And then we'll have the question of, you know, what is a proper indicator of something that should disqualify or raise someone's health insurance, you know, et cetera. Anyway, interesting thoughts there. Gmail autocomplete. This was brought up in the Slack by David McCookie. Saying that seems weird. I also thought this seemed weird.
Yeah, what's the use case for this? Like asking someone out for tacos, I guess, is what they demoed.
Yeah.
Which I guess it would pick up if you did that frequently, right? Like it's trying to predict based on past.
No, they said in the subject line it was like Taco Tuesday ... and then they put the two address in and it was like, hi Jackie. And it like filled that in for you, and you
hit
tab
that part.
And it auto completes. Yeah. And then it was like, "Do you want to get tacos?" I don't remember all the words.
Yeah, it seems like a gimmick to me, I guess, but I don't know. I haven't used predictive text that heavily until recently when I was taking notes on my iPad, and I just got sick of typing out every word. And I was like, "Hey, you know what? It's actually suggesting the words that I do want to use, so I'm just going to tap them instead of typing them out.
Also, Craig, I'm going to need to correct you there. We used to call this predictive text because it was just a thing that computers have always done, but now it's machine learning.
Sorry.
So please get it right.
Sorry, I need to use the right buzzwords.
That's right. That's right. Continued conversations and multiple actions with Google Assistant. This is a feature where you no longer need to say "Okay, Google" or "Hey, Google" with every.
You're gonna have to beep that out.
I might not. We'll see. We'll see how lazy I am this week.
Hey Siri, Alexa.
Oh, shush.
My phone's like doo-doo.
So this is a feature where you don't have to say "Okay, Google" or "Hey, Google" every time, and you can also give it, you know, compound requests. So like, please, I can't think of anything aside from please set a timer and take out the trash. They can't take out the trash. But
and then R2-D2 comes into the living room and
order me a pizza.
Exactly. And it will do those things. And you can continue the conversation without having to repeat the trigger word.
No, Derek, I was telling you to please call and order me a pizza.
All right.
I can do that. Order delivery to somewhere in Memphis. Is that right?
Yes.
Somewhere in Memphis.
They'll find me. Don't worry.
It's Ben somewhere in Memphis.
He wants pizza.
Figure that out, Google. Do your machine learning. This is something that my wife said is weird as well. This sort of voice assistant thing. I think she uses Siri occasionally, but she hadn't really ever considered putting one in our house. Does anyone have, Ben, do you have one of these?
I do, yes.
And so, will you find it useful, or do you think it's just making it more complicated?
I do think it's creepy, but it's also already always listening to me, and so and waiting for the wake word, and so it's kind of really not that big of like a. I mean, it's not that big of a weird step. It is a useful thing. Like I do think that it's going to be helpful, and I do get tired of saying "Hey Google" 12 times. Mine's going to go off in the other room. What was that you were saying, Ben? That's not the voice it talks in. I've upgraded mine to the witches from Hocus Pocus voice. So,
and the other thing about this is that this so completely moves Google ahead in the competition in my eyes. I mean, it's obviously been way ahead of Siri for a while. Everything's ahead of Siri. But even
this,
ahead of...
This is the thing? This is the thing that moves Google ahead of the competition in
your eyes? Well, okay. So again,
not
we're going
through... Not the self-driving car?
This was my thoughts. These were my thoughts as I was watching the keynote. It's like, oh, wow. Now Google has this huge, step forward. We still have yet to get to some things that are like even more mind-blowing, but these are my thoughts. There is a feature called Pretty Please that Google is implementing or that Google is making available for people to implement on their things so that their kids are forced to say please or be kind to their Google assistants when they are talking to them.
It just seems like bad parenting. You should be able to teach your kids to do that without having to rely on a voice assistant to have a purpose for it.
There is actually debate on whether or not you should even be kind to your Google assistant. And that's totally going to become an episode because I find that incredibly interesting.
I mean, don't be a jerk in general, but like, are you morally obligated to be kind to a machine? I don't know.
No, but sinful speech that comes out of your heart toward anything is still sinful speech.
Yeah, I guess so. But like, pretty pleased to, I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's weird. Yeah, that's going another
step. It's a PR move, right? Like the New York Times article or the Wall Street Journal article or whatever it was that did the like, kids are more bossy, study shows, because of Alexa listening all the time. Now my Alexas are going to go off. Dadgummit, Derek. Oh, there she is. Get out of here, crazy. You'll never catch me alive. Oh, wait, she's playing music now. Hold on, I'll be right back. You guys keep going.
That seems like a good time to do a sponsor break. Our sponsor this week is Missionalware, your Reformed theology gift shop. Missionalware prints apparel, drinkware, and accessories with beautiful artwork of historical creeds, quotes, and faces of various reformers. And I haven't talked about these in a little while, but what I'd like to talk about today is their... collection of flasks. These are gorgeous. They've got there are some with leatherette coverings around the middle of them. They've got whole flask sets with like the funnel and everything and a nice box that comes in. Makes a great gift idea, because whiskey just tastes a little bit better with a beautiful enclosure. So check it out. They've got a Post Tenebris Lux design, some different faces of people, the 500 years of the Reformation. So if you haven't gotten anything to celebrate, you know, last October, you can totally do that now. And of course, Missionalware has been making things since 2010. So they have a huge library of designs and items that you should find something that you like. So to grab some apparel, drinkware, or accessories for yourself, or even just to browse their gorgeous designs, check them out at missionalware.com to get your lifestyle on mission to the glory of God. And thanks to Missionalware for sponsoring Tech Reformation this week. All right, moving on to the feature that everybody and their mother was talking about, Google Duplex. This is where Google has used AI and machine learning to...
Scare quotes, Derek, scare quotes, come on.
Scare quotes. to actually call businesses on your behalf. So the intro to this was like, we're going to make it so that assistant can interact with APIs with different businesses and order stuff for you or reserve stuff, so it makes it easier. But for the companies that don't have this stuff...
Like your haircut place.
Right, like my haircut place. Now you can just have a Google Assistant call them and set up an appointment.
So how can I help you?
Hi, I'm calling to book a women's haircut for a client. I'm looking for something on May 3rd.
Sure, give me 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, what time are you looking for around?
At 12 p.m.
We do not have a 12 p.m. available. The closest we have to that is a 1:15.
Do you have anything between 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.?
Depending on what service she would like, what service is she looking for?
Just a woman's haircut for now.
Okay, we have a 10 o'clock.
10 a.m. is fine.
Okay, what's her first name?
The first name is Lisa.
Okay, perfect. So I will see Lisa at 10 o'clock on May 3rd.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Great. Have a great day. Bye.
Yeah, so that's kind of crazy and creepy.
Yeah, it was one of those jaw-dropping open moments for me.
Especially the mm-hmm.
Yes, yes.
Everyone in the crowd was like, oh my gosh, what's happening? It's the nuclear apocalypse.
Oh, yes.
Skynet is mobilized.
And so...
Seriously, one of these things is going to call Trump and tell him to drop nukes on Russia or something.
Yeah, it is an increasing... I don't know what to call it, but like a de-artificialization of... like of artificial stuff. Like so we have very compelling Photoshop to the point where you can't tell that it's Photoshop, or like the untrained eye can't tell that it's Photoshopped. And the same with video, you can fairly easily fake
like the
video.
One with the pizza who becomes a girl in a bikini, like that one.
Yes, sure.
It's a Photoshop thing.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Oh, yes. No, I do know what you're talking about. Reference acknowledged.
It's just ridiculous.
Yes.
It's a pizza. It just looks like a girl, but it's not. It's actually a pizza.
And now
seriously,
we have...
if you grabbed her arm and took a bite, you would find pizza. It would be delicious. I'll kidding. Stop. I'm sorry.
And so now we have like a voice of a robot sounding really compelling, like a human, because it's got all the little verbal tics and everything. So the internet kind of went crazy because, you know, it's deception and oh my crap, Skynet and, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
I can see you're not worried, Derek.
Oh no, it's there's definitely cause for concern, but, I have many thoughts on this that I cannot fit into a half hour episode with like 10 other things from the Google keynote. So
yeah, we'll have to do another one on this.
Absolutely. That'll probably be next week. Maybe. I don't know. I'm not going to promise that. They also announced an update to Google News. Which is,
they should have called this Google Echo Chamber, because it's just finding the news that you like to read, right? And
No. That's the point. So it's finding news that you're interested in, but the other part of it is that it's also finding a balanced perspective on the topic from other trusted sources. So make the argument that the other trusted sources may be also selected for bias. Like, they're probably not going to put InfoWars on there. So if you're super into InfoWars, you're going to say that this is biased. But they do, the attempt is that it gives you a better understanding of the entire story, whether it be from the entire timeline of how long the story has been happening, like Puerto Rico, how the hurricane happened and how everything was going on there for months and probably still is. That sort of stuff. So I was, this looked really interesting. I don't know if I'm ever going to use it, but I was really impressed by this.
I think I'll use it. And I think they were trying to get over the echo chamber thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'll actually work, but
I think I was having a conversation at that point in the video, so I may have missed that extra bit that Derek was talking about. It does sound useful in that way.
Android P, of course, has been announced. Well, it was announced before, but they talked about some more details about it, not including the actual name. When does the name come out? When does the name usually come out for Android operating system updates?
Oh, no, it's called Android P. Like
Android P.
Yes, Ben.
I really hope that's true.
That's not a dessert, Ben. That's not a dessert. So one of the things they emphasized was digital well-being features. And this was mentioned earlier on in the keynote, though it wasn't a huge theme throughout the keynote. So some of these features that were being announced, the two that stuck out to me were a fade to grayscale thing as you're going to sleep. So you have like a bedtime that you set or something, that the screen slowly fades to grayscale.
Until, like, wind down is the feature, I think. Something like that.
Yes, that is the that's the name of the feature, which is really cool. And also turning over your phone on the desk, like if your phone's sitting up on a table, you can turn it over to enter do not disturb mode. So
and that's called
like
shush.
Yes. Shush.
And it's like so obvious that we should have done this years ago.
I know. I can't believe it hasn't been done until now.
I actually can't quite understand how they're doing that because of all the different ways that your phone moves.
The accelerometer is how they're doing it. And sometimes when you put it up to your face, it's going to shush on you. So good luck with that.
So is it doing it on pressure, Ben, not orientation? Or
I mean, it's probably several things. It's probably accelerometer and the gyroscope and
machine learning.
Definitely some machine learning. Just throw that in there for sure.
Surely it'll sense the amount of light that's coming into the front camera and stuff as well.
Oh, yeah, like the proximity sensor by the speaker. Yeah, I'm sure that's involved as well.
Your Google Home will hear the clatter of the phone as you set it down, and that'll help too. You've got your little Clips camera. It's actually a feature fully powered by the Clips camera that they announced last keynote that nobody remembers or cares about anymore. That once it sees your phone laying face down, then it'll...
I might ask the light phone people to put this feature into the light phone. It seems like a good idea.
Well, does it even have notifications that you need to shush?
I mean to stop calls coming through and text messages.
So, wait, the light phone takes calls?
Yeah. That's almost all it does. Not quite. It's going to do more than that this time around, but not too much.
I thought it was just like one of those wristwatch calculators, you know? From back in the day?
No. They're talking about Bluetooth and playlists and stuff this time, but anyway.
Yeah, and we're probably going to end up doing a show on some of those digital well-being features, like with the graph and the all this stuff at some point too. Just because, well, David Latchett brought up, they seem like right in our wheelhouse, and I tend to agree. So, Tank, was there anything else interesting? So, I don't have an Android phone, so I'm not as aware of what is super cool. There were some interesting interaction things that were cool about Android P, as far as like the volume volume stuff and different things. What stood out for you?
I liked the looking at the stats for the apps.
Yeah, the dashboard seems helpful.
Yeah, it just seemed fun. I always like looking at graphs and stuff. And so how much time have I actually spent playing Pokemon Go?
Oh, yeah.
Way too much, maybe. So that'd be fun. The slices, being able to do stuff. I use the limited stuff that they have right now. Like I can say done on an email before without opening the app and replying to messages without going into the messages is what they already have. So I didn't see too much details on what they called slices where you can like... I can't remember how it was done exactly, but basically you could rent it. You could hire an Uber without even opening the Uber app all the way. And so, yeah, I think as that feature gets, gets expanded by many different apps, you can probably do a lot on your phone without having to put in as much effort. So that sounds cool.
Cool. All right, hitting the home stretch here. We've got AR in Google Maps. So this would be a feature where you can use augmented reality to take a look around with your camera and see which direction you need to go and see different businesses' information just overlaid on your camera.
I feel like this would be useful if I was traveling, but maybe not any time when I'm at home. If you know what I mean. Like, yeah, I don't know probably how often I would use it, but I can certainly see a good use case for it. Even in terms of like finding places to eat and stuff like that, if you're in a busy city or something you've never been to before. I don't know about the Fox overlay, the little thing leading you around, but you know, I don't want to be anti every single gimmick. Maybe it'll be fun. I don't know.
I thought it was going to be a Pokemon.
That would have been great.
Anywho, this whole AR in Maps thing that they showed is basically just Google Glass without the glasses.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
And true. I feel like it's kind of like as a dog returns to its vomit, so Google returns to the Google Glass idea. No one liked it. Just stop. Like, it's fine.
I don't know if... Was it the case that no one liked it or no one was keen on spending money on it at the time?
And yeah, what was it? Like $1,500 or something like that?
Yeah, and it just and you'd know who was doing that, like, and
they were ugly.
Google Glasses, yeah, they were ugly, and so you'd like, I don't know. There was a whole bunch of reasons people went into it.
So you're saying no one liked it for all of those reasons? Okay, you're right.
I'm sorry. Well, I think I was interested in the concept of like that kind of data being more readily available, and I guess that's what they're doing, but they're just doing it in Maps with Street View and stuff.
Yeah, if you could just give me like maybe even like a little unobtrusive surgery to where it's just, you know, on my cornea. I don't want to wear the glasses or use my phone. And then
that
I
would be
idea.
Annoying. You'd have to be able to turn it off, surely, or else it would just drive you insane.
Yeah, you just double tap the temple.
Oh, right, okay.
Nice. Yep,
and then you triple tap the temple to go into a small coma.
In case you ever need it.
Along with a fox that leads you around your coma.
Why would you do that?
I can think of a reason.
It's a parenting feature.
I don't know
why I
said
that. Get it installed on your kids.
Parenting feature.
Good luck catching your toddler enough, you know, to tap their temple three times anyway.
Okay, we got to wrap this up.
Anywho, onward to self-driving cars.
Yes, so self-driving cars. So Google announced that, or no, not Google, Waymo announced, because it is Waymo. Actually a separate company. I'm sure they work together, but it is Waymo, it's not Google. But Waymo came up on stage and announced that they are starting their company as a ride-hailing thing in Phoenix, Arizona later this year. Like, for real. Like, not in beta anymore. Like, currently it is in beta, but it won't be in beta anymore later.
Like, I want real James White to do a dividing line from a self-driving car.
I was just thinking. I wonder if Dr. White will
get his reactions while he's trying to talk about something really serious, some like textual criticism, and he's like, "Whoa, hang on, no, Rich, it's okay. Yep, it's back." Can people see this?
I'll bet you dollars to donuts this thing won't make it to where I'm trying to go.
Oh yeah,
by any stretch of the imagination.
So that's cool. And also, I don't think anybody has actually, well, we don't actually have a date. We have a later this year sort of date, which, you know, but still a this year deadline for actual real self-driving cars, not in beta, is kind of after like the last five years or however long, that kind of blows my mind that we're actually here.
Yeah. This looks cool. I mean, if anyone's going to be able to do it well, you'd think Google, with their access to maps and everything, like all that map data, would you'd feel like in relatively safe hands, I think.
Well, and their machine learning too. I mean, their AI, it's all over it.
We can't forget.
I was wondering how much machine learning you guys thought they had to bake in to make this thing work over the last 5 years.
At least two or three times what they originally had.
I'd like to know where the gaps still are on that technology, like how. It sounds like they're pretty confident that won't be an issue, but I guess until we see it in practice, it'll be
my policy on this one is ignorance is bliss. Don't tell me where the gaps are. Let's go onward, self-driving cars.
And that about wraps it up for this week. So if you'd like to get into the conversation and let us know what your thoughts were about the Google I.O. keynote, you can hit us up in our Slack at slack.techreformation.com.
Make sure you say pretty please.
Yes. Good callback. Excellent callback.
You can also check out our website at techreformation.com for all of our past episodes and topics.
And you can talk to us also on our Twitter at techreformation if you would like to use that to talk to us instead.
This has been Tech Reformation. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. And I ain't looking back. No, no, I ain't looking back.
Ben, did you want to intro this at all? Did you have more thoughts on this than I did?
I'm sorry. I got distracted because when I said I would probably use Google News, I thought about the last thing I said that about that I can remember on the podcast, which was the Christian Daily Reporter, and I haven't looked at it since. So I feel really, really bad. And now I'm looking at the Christian Daily Reporter, and man, it is crazy the world we live in, guys. Holy cow. Let me just read you a couple of these, okay? The top article, Google is watching you. And they they Photoshop the Google logo with little binoculars for the O's.
Oh, of course.
Okay, and then there's
you
another
have to
one.
Do that.
Parents push trans ideology on young children in new viral video. And then there's another one, Siri, Alexa, and Google Assistant vulnerable to hidden commands you can't hear.
Yeah, I just saw that one. That was interesting.
We're all going to die.
Clearly.
Parents should ask babies permission to change diapers for culture of consent at home.
Yeah, I saw that. Goodness. That's, I mean, probably...
Kids would never get their nappy changed.
Well,
that's basically...
Yeah, I'm happen. Sure they have, tricks of the trade, like baby whisper type strategies, but I am skeptical.
Cry if you want your diaper changed.
Yes. There you go.